Well, guess what book we're going to look at? Can you see it? Now, how many of you know about the book of Philemon? It's a short little book. And if you just try to breeze through the pages of your Bible, you would even miss it, for it's only on a page or two, depending on how big your Bible is or how small your Bible is. The book of Philemon. I just want to kind of give you guys an introduction to it, to give a little background. I find it's very important. I started doing this years ago when I was preaching down in BC as a pastor down there. And people love the background, and just giving a little background before you dive into the book. What's going on at the time? What is the letter written for? What's the book about? Why is it in the New Testament? Why is it there? And so we're going to look at the book of Philemon, and we're just going to take a few Sundays to do that. Guess how many chapters Philemon is? One. It is only one chapter. Actually, I forgot to look at how many verses. How many verses are in the book of Philemon altogether? 25? That's it. 25 verses. One chapter of Philemon. Now, if you want to find it in your Bibles, it's tucked in between Titus and Hebrews, okay? So if you find Titus, it's the one right after it. You find Hebrews, it's the one before it. Hebrews is towards the back of the New Testament. So it's tucked right in there in between the two. It is one of the shortest writings in the New Testament Bible, okay? In the new part of the New Testament of the Bible, it is one of the shortest writings. And it carries with it, though, a very, very rich background and a wonderful, wonderful message. There's a few themes that are woven throughout this letter. It was written by who? Yes, the Apostle Paul. It was written by Paul, most likely when he was under arrest in Rome, which was around the year AD 60 to 62, somewhere in there. Okay, so that's what most scholars and theologians agree on, that timing, that Paul wrote it when he was under house arrest in Rome around AD 60 to 62. This letter is part of what scholars and theologians call the prison epistles. Do you know why they're called the prison epistles? Because Paul was in prison. Very good. Right? Oh, what a sharp bunch we got here. All right, yes, they're called the prison epistles. Do you know what the other prison epistles are? They are Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians. So these were ones when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, right? And because he was a Roman, he got to be in a home prison, right? Because that Roman citizenship was still recognized, right? And so they got specialer treatment, if that specialer is a word. Okay, they got more special treatment being a Roman citizen. So Paul was imprisoned in this home, and he wrote the letters while he was in prison in Rome, Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, which we now kind of call them the prison epistles. Okay, during the same Roman imprisonment, right? So it was in that imprisonment that Paul wrote these letters. Now, the interesting thing about what makes this letter of Paul's unique is that instead of being addressed to a church like Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, right, Galatians, right, this letter is written primarily to the one man, Philemon. It is addressed to a guy, right? All the other letters are addressed to a church, and this one's addressed to the one man, Philemon, who was a Christian man who was living in Colossae. All right? Hence Colossians, right? The people Colossians, the town or the city was called Colossae. And Philemon was from Colossae. With me so far? Okay? He was okay. So who is Philemon? It's important. Let's talk about Philemon. Who was this guy? All right? He was a wealthy Christian man who hosted a church in his house. And we'll get into that when we get into the scripture, but in verse 2, right? In verse 2, we discover that he hosts a church in his home, okay? Now, to have a home that can host a church, in those days, we understand he would be a very wealthy man. He would have been a wealthy man to be able to host a church in his home. So, and as a wealthy man, he would have had and owned slaves, which was very common in the Roman world, by the way. In the Roman world, to have slaves was just a normal thing. There was nothing abnormal about having slaves in Rome. And so here is the interesting thing about slavery in Rome. So I want us to get a picture of this, okay? So let me try and paint a picture for you. So slavery in Roman times was a normal thing. Everybody, all Romans had slaves. Normally all Romans had slaves in their home. And so when this is written, this was a big part of it. And you'll understand as we go through the book, you'll understand why I'm giving you some background to this, okay? So in the first century, the Roman Empire had millions of slaves. Some actually, historians estimated, what was that number? That one-third of the population of major cities like Rome were slaves. One-third of the population were slaves. And slavery wasn't based upon race, just I thought that was important to note, but on things like war captives, debt, or being born into a slave household, right? I've been into some countries where sadly there still is some slavery, but the master would basically own them because they needed things, and so they would be indebted to that master for generations to pay it off. Right? And so this is also the case in that time, right? So slaves had no legal rights, right? They didn't have any legal rights. Masters had nearly absolute authority over them. And a runaway slave actually could be severely punished. Beaten, branded on the forehead is what they would do if they ran away. They would get branded on the forehead or even executed if they ran away. So, are we clear on that, right? This was a big deal in Roman culture, right? A third of the population in the major cities back then were slaves, which is an unbelievable thing if you think about that number. And slaves performed all kinds of work. They farmed, they had household service, where they would serve in the households. They would teach the younger kids. They did bookkeeping. They had professional roles, like even like doctors or managers. So it's different than maybe, that's why I wanted to kind of paint the picture, because it's different normally than what we think of slavery, right? Just from North American slavery. Some slaves could earn or be granted freedom as well. They could earn their freedom or they could be granted, and becoming freedmen, though they often still be owned, and before they were freedom, after they got their freedom, they would still often find themselves loyal to their masters because they were so grateful. So that actually happened quite a lot. Okay, so I wanted to, paint a little bit of picture, because as I was studying and looking through this, I thought, wow, that slavery is a little bit different, Roman slavery, compared to what I think of when we think of, African-American slaves and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's a little bit different, okay? So let's get back to Philemon. He's a wealthy man, right? He has money. He's holding church in his own home. Right? He had and owned slaves. And Philemon was most likely, this is how they got to know each other, and of course the book alludes to this, he would have been converted through Paul's ministry. Right? Paul was there preaching Christ, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul says I forget which letter it is, but he says, I must preach Christ. I must. Not I should, I must preach Christ. And I love that calling because I feel that's mine. I must preach Christ. I will preach Christ and no other. That is my message to the world, is Christ. I must preach him. And so Philemon likely was converted to Christ under Paul's ministry as he came around. Okay? So now another character that we have to add in this conversation is the slave of Philemon's called Onesimus. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Yes. I don't know if I'm saying that properly, but that's how we're going to call him. Onesimus. That's how I heard it in college, right? Some say Onesimus, but I don't think I like the long E. We're just going to go with Onesimus, okay? So he is the slave. That's a big character in this letter, okay? So who is Onesimus? The heart of this letter revolves around this man. This man who was a slave to his master, Philemon. And Paul is writing to Philemon, okay, to make that clear. He's writing to Philemon because Onesimus is with Paul, okay? He's with Paul. All right, so the heart of the letter revolves around Onesimus, who was one of Philemon's slaves, okay? And so at some point, Onesimus ran away from Philemon, okay? We don't know at what point, right? It doesn't say, but he ran away from Philemon, which what could happen to you? Do you remember what I just said if you ran away? Right, you could be branded, you could be tortured, you could even be executed, okay? So I imagine there's a little bit of fear in Onesimus, right? But the difference is when he ran away, he didn't know Jesus, did he? Right? During his runaway, he met the Lord and therefore met Paul, okay? So he ran away, he encountered the Apostle Paul, who obviously shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Amen? Okay? Onesimus gave his life to Jesus and began helping Paul in ministry during Paul's imprisonment in Rome. Okay? Okay, so we're AD 60 to 62. Okay? Paul's imprisoned in Rome. He writes the letters, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. Okay? Household prison, remember. Think a nicer prison, right? Because he was a Roman citizen, okay? And Paul is writing these letters, and Onesimus came along, gave his life to Christ, met Paul during his ministry, and is now helping Paul during his imprisonment. Okay, we with each other so far? Okay, so why is Paul writing this letter to Philemon? Why? What's the purpose of writing this letter? Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon with this letter that he wrote to him. Okay? And we know that because of the one chapter. Okay? It explains that. Okay? And instead of commanding Philemon to forgive, Paul appeals to him in love. It's really funny. When we get to that, we're going to have a funny. Because Paul's a doer, right? And doers, right, if you get in their way, they can bulldoze you, right? Because they have a plan and they have an agenda, right? And if you get in their way, they can just bulldoze you right over, right? Because it's not that they don't care about you, but they see the goal. And if you get in the way, you just, right? They'll just get rid of you, right? I've seen it happen time and time again in the church, right? Doers, they have a goal and they get stuck on that point. And that's all they can see sometimes, right? Because my goal is to get there, right? And Paul's a doer, right? So it's funny. Paul says in that letter, he says, I could command you, right? But I would rather appeal to you in love, right? He says that in verse 9, and we'll talk about that later. But instead of commanding Philemon to forgive, Paul appeals to him in love to receive Onesimus back. Not as a slave, but now as a beloved brother in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Right? Or Philemon, would you accept Onesimus back as both of you are now slaves to Christ? Amen? Remember Paul said in one of the other letters he wrote in that prison, right? There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor master, we're all one the same in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that good news? Isn't it wonderful that I can stand up here and say to you that I am not greater than you? That the greatness in both of us lives in us? Right? Right? I have nothing to give you. I'm only up here to remind you what you already have living in you. Amen? Right? I'm here to remind you what you already have. Because you lack nothing. That's what the Bible says, right? That's what Jesus said. I have given you everything for life and godliness. right? Remember in Colossians, Paul wrote that in that prison along with Philemon, one of the prison letters. He said, the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form in you. And in Christ, you've been brought to that fullness. Is something that's full missing something? No. So I'm up here. When I preach, this is my motto when I come and preach. This is how I approach it. I'm here to help show you and help remind you of the fullness that you already have in you. Right? I just may not recognize it. So Paul's appealing says, would you take him back, not as a slave, but as both of you are slaves now to Christ. Take him back as a beloved brother. In verse 16 of that one chapter, he says, as a beloved brother in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I love this book. How many of you have read Philemon before? Not many of us, right? Because, I mean, you could be going through the Bible and reading it, and you could have missed it. Because you finished Titus, and it's on the backside, and you flipped over, and you went to Hebrews, right? It's such a small little letter, but it is an important letter. And so that's why I wanted to attack it here over the next few Sundays. Okay, now let me just talk about just kind of a few themes that are woven throughout here so you can look for them as we preach here. My iPad's cooperating today. It's really nice. All right. So one of the major themes to me in these 25 verses is Christian brother and sisterhood. Christian brotherhood and sisterhood. In Christ, and Paul uses those words again. Remember I told you I counted in Paul's letters and I lost count because I remember one of my kids came in and asked me a question and then I forgot. But it was over 130 times. But one of them are used, actually it's twice in, I think, Philemon. He used the words in Christ. In Christ, social divisions such as slave and master are broken down. Right? You are brothers now in the Lord. You will not look at Onesimus as a slave, nor he you as master. You will look at each other now as brothers in Christ. Amen? It's a beautiful theme in this one chapter. Another one is forgiveness and reconciliation. How important is forgiveness? Extremely. Without forgiveness, what are we doing with this? Right? I mean, my life banks on forgiveness, as does yours. Right? Without his forgiveness, we cannot come before the Father, can we? Jesus is the only one in all religions who said he is the way. All others say they are a way. But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which means we need his forgiveness. And so Paul is pleading to Philemon, right? Would you forgive? And Paul actually even says, if there's any charges against him, I, Paul, will pay it, right? I'll take it for him, right? So Paul is pleading with him. So forgiveness, the Apostle Paul models this. So he writes all these letters, but he models it in this letter to Philemon himself. Because we know Paul loves Onesimus. Onesimus was a huge encouragement to him, as was Timothy. And he mentions Timothy in the very first verse, right? Which, 1st and 2nd Timothy, right? Paul wrote those about Timothy, right, who was a dear brother. But Onesimus was a huge encourager to Paul, and Paul loves him dearly for that. Can you imagine? You're imprisoned, but I get somebody with me all the time. Does that happen in our prisons today? No, he gets to stay with Paul. He gets to help him out. He gets to, right? So he's a dear brother while Paul's Why was Paul in prison again? Do you guys know? Yes, for preaching Christ, right? Remember, just like 1 Peter was writing in those times, right? It's similar like Paul, right? It was happening in Paul's ministry too, right? They wanted to put an end to it. They saw the influence that Christ had on people in this Christianity thing, right? So Paul got in prison for preaching, but that's why Paul said, I must preach Christ. Not even prison will stop me So now he's writing letters. He's preaching through letters, which aren't you glad we have those today? Right? There's such an encouragement to us, right? So the Apostle Paul models the gospel by interceding for Onesimus, just as Christ intercedes for sinners. Amen? So Paul is modeling. He's practicing what he preaches, right? We've all heard the saying, right? And he's putting this into practice in his life on behalf of Onesimus. Reconciliation is important, isn't it? To be reconciled. We shouldn't have these relationships that are obstructed. As far as it depends on you, as it says in the Gospels, right? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all mankind, right? So I just wanted to add that in. Reconciliation is important, but as far as it depends on you, it says, live at peace with all mankind, right? Because sometimes it's not reciprocated, right? So there's nothing more I can do, right? But the message of reconciliation is such an important theme in this book, in this letter, sorry, to Philemon, okay? Reconciliation. It is very, very important to reconcile. Amen? We love peace, don't we? We don't like estranged relationships, do we? Right? It's not good. So, isn't it an interesting verse in the Gospels where it says, if you cannot forgive another, your heavenly Father will not forgive. Like, that's strong language, isn't it? If you will not forgive another, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Now, here's what I want to make clear. And you guys remember I preached on forgiveness last year. But forgiveness isn't forgetting, okay? Right? I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't forget the holes in his hands and his feet, right? Right? He took on the sins of the world. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's choosing not to hold it over another anymore, right? That's what it is. I choose not to hold it against you, or I choose not to hold it over you. Amen? That's what forgiveness is. It's not forgetting because of how our brains work, right? Right? But when a focus becomes the focused, that's all you can see, right? And that's why it says, fix your eyes on me, not the sin, not the problem, not the offender, but on me, on Jesus, right? Fix your eyes on me. So forgiveness is choosing not to hold it against you anymore or over you anymore, right? I release you from the act that you did towards me. Isn't that powerful? Those words, I release you. I told this story a couple times this week, and I must share it with you right now. Just as I think of Paul writing and bearing his absolute heartfelt love for Onesimus, saying, Philemon, please release him. Right? And Philemon has the power. Onesimus is going back, even though he ran away, but he's going back knowing who now? Knowing Jesus as a brother, right? And Paul is pleading with Philemon because Paul knows the rules under Roman citizenship. He was one himself, right? He knows how it works. And he's pleading, would you release him? Those words are so powerful. We were doing an Abiding Life conference somewhere around the world. I don't remember where. And this lady comes up and she walks up and she's telling my mentor a story. And she says, young man, you got a really nice message. It's a beautiful gospel message you shared. It reminds me of a story that I want to share with you. And I said, well, please share with us. So she starts sharing how this man met her daughter and ended up marrying her. Now he's her son-in-law. And he ended up killing her. And killed her daughter. And she said it was so difficult. It was so difficult to walk through that. And I didn't know how I was going to forgive him, but I know the Bible says we must forgive. She goes, how can I feel like forgiving this man who killed my daughter? He was family to me. She goes, well, I didn't feel like forgiving him, so I acted like I forgave him. So she decided she never pressed charges. She forgave him. She released him. And she said, every time I see him, I'm going to go over across the street and I'm going to hug him and tell him that God loves you and I forgive you. You are released. And she did that again and again and again and again. And there's a line of people wanting to talk to us. And there's this one guy behind her, and he's just bawling, listening to the story too. But then she turns around and she goes, this is my son-in-law. Oh, man, was that powerful. So anybody says who they can't forgive, this lady knew what the Lord had said and asked of her. And even though she didn't feel it, she said, I chose to act like I did. But she goes, you know what? Eventually, that acting caught up. And I really did. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful thing? What a story. I'm so glad that I got to hear that story. Right? To release someone, that is reconciliation. To release. Amen? When you think reconciliation, I want you to think release. Those words to the offender, to the one who offended you, to the one who hurt you, to say, I forgive you. You're released. I no longer hold this over you anymore against you. That is a beautiful theme woven here in the letter to Philemon. The other one that I want to mention just as we wrap up, and I'll kind of end with this, is love over obligation. Right? Paul could command Philemon. That's what he says. I can't wait to read it to you because I find Paul hilarious. I can relate to Paul, right? But Paul says, I could command you, Philemon, but instead I'm going to appeal to you through love, right? I appeal to you through love, right? So love over obligation, right? Right? Isn't it so much more fun when your kids were younger and they loved to clean the room instead of obligating them to do it? Right? Did anybody ever experience them? Right? But wouldn't that be awesome if they did? I love to clean my room, so I will clean it. Instead of saying, you must clean your room. Right? What goes better? And that's what I love about Jesus, you see. Jesus didn't obligate. He wanted us to come through desire. And that's what Paul is desiring Philemon to do. I'm not obligating you, Philemon, even though I could, because I gave my very life to you. Right? You owe me yourself. That's what Paul says in it. I love it. But I appeal to you in love. And isn't that wonderful that Jesus doesn't obligate us to follow him? He desires us to follow him, but he doesn't will it, because he can't, because he is love, and love has to give choice. Amen? Right? He desires all to come to know him, but he cannot will it. And so Paul is following that example set by Jesus. Right? I'm not obligating to you, but I'm appealing to you in love. Please, please forgive Onesimus and accept him as a brother. Whew, powerful. Whew, is that not powerful? Wow. To think about the release you can give people in your life who've offended you, to release them, right? And I know sometimes you think, but it's throwing pearls to swine. They don't even know. Well, amen. Leave that between them and the Lord, amen? It'll release you to release them. Whew, love it. Okay, in summary, the background of Philemon is a very personal story of a runaway slave transformed by Christ. He heard the message of the gospel, gave his life to Christ. And then it's a story of a master who is challenged to forgive and embrace this once slave, now as family. And an apostle who mediates between them both. Whew. It shows how faith in Christ reshapes relationships at the very deepest level. Amen. Now, as we come to this table, speaking of forgiveness, speaking of love, speaking of reconciliation. Is this not appropriate today to partake together? Because what we're saying together is, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that your body was broken, that you did nothing. You lived the life that we couldn't. You lived perfectly. I have not. I have messed up. I have screwed up. I have done hurtful things. I have done some very bad things. I remember when I was in Peru, this young cop said to me, is it really true? He said, Pastor Chad, I've done some very horrible things in my life before I became a cop. Some very, very bad things. Too embarrassed to tell you. Is it really true? He forgives me once and for all, for the rest of eternity? And I said, yes. It was so powerful to him. It moved him. And honestly, it's like physically I could see all that stress and pressure that he's holding just release as he accepted Christ's work on the cross for him. Amen? It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So when we partake of the bread and the cup together today, I want you to remember that he has released you. He has released you from any shame that you could feel. Many may have come and said to you, shame on you, but Jesus has now come and said, shame's off you. Right? Shame's off you. I remember your sins no more. Amen? So this bread represents his body. It was broken. He didn't have to. He chose to. And like you've heard me say, I am convinced it was not nails that held Jesus to that cross. It was love. Love held him there. He chose it for you and for me because he's the only one who could. Right? And he said, remember the cup. Right? It represents my blood. Right? Which was shed for you. Do both in remembrance of me. It's good to remember, yes? It's really good to remember. And so I just want you to pause for a second, and I want you to remember. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, and when you're ready, come on up and grab a piece of bread and the cup as reminders, okay? Yeah, please, yeah. And just take a moment and just thank God, remember what he's done for you. I mean, we don't want to take this lightly either, right? Like just a thing, it's just something the church does. No, this is something the church does because it is important. Without his death and without his resurrection, we have no hope, right? And I'm the biggest fool of us all because I've given my life to preach this, right? So just bow your heads, close your eyes. Jeremy, I'll just kind of strum a bit here. And remember and thank God in your own way from your heart, okay? And when you're ready, come on up and grab a piece of bread and the cup representing his body and his blood. Did we miss anybody? Everybody got a piece of the bread and the wine. Don't you love music? It's a universal language, isn't it? Hey, thanks, Jeremy, for coming up and doing that. Listen, let's partake together, but first, his body, which was broken for you and for me. Let's do this in remembrance of him. Jesus shed his blood. They used to have to take an animal that was unblemished and do it year after year. But his blood was so pure, it did it once and for all the rest of eternity. Blood represents life, amen? Without his blood, we have no life. And his life and his blood now flows through us. Amen? Let's do this in remembrance of him. Thanks, Denise, for preparing that for us today. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are looking forward to diving into this letter of Philemon. It's such a beautiful story. It's Paul showing a live example of everything.